You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Come on, let's get going now.
KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go on a Thursday night. Welcome in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. You know what? I can tell you this. We are going to be coming your way with Sports Open Line basically every Thursday moving forward because today was the final Thursday game that the Cardinals will play this year, barring something crazy happening like some sort of rain out or barring them, you know, going on this miraculous run and, you know, seeing the postseason again, miraculous, unlikely, basically 99% chance. Cardinals are done playing Thursday baseball games for the year, so here we are, and I've got you till 8 o'clock tonight. When I get done, Jen Cease is going to come in here. She's got City Spotlight tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We're going to do a little city here because this is our first Sports Open Line since Lutz Pfannenstiel was let go earlier in the week. I was surprised by it. I put that out on social media, and I kind of got called out from some people saying, why would you be surprised? The results are the results. I was surprised. I thought he was somebody who was going to get at least one more opportunity to hire a coach and move that thing forward. That is not happening, and they are now looking for a new sporting director and a new head coach, and there's just a lot to do. So we're going to talk a little city before we get done today. Heath Pierce is going to join us. He's part of the team over at MLS, Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. We might, depending on timing, if Jen gets in here, we may try to get her for our final segment. But I'll tell you, the 7 o'clock hour is jam-packed. And I really, like, I'm not trying to beg you to be tuned in. That sounds pathetic. That's not what I'm doing here. But I would encourage, instead of begging, let's go with encouraging. I would encourage you to be tuned in during the 7 o'clock hour. Because I got the chance to talk with Anouk Karuntarante. And he is the senior vice president for business operations with the Cardinals. He's the guy who really oversees the day-to-day business operations, so everything non-baseball, and just what the Cardinals are trying to do. So yeah, we talk about attendance. Did not run away from the attendance issues. We talk about that. We talk about ticket prices because there's been a lot of talk on social media about these exorbitant increases that are coming with season ticket prices. Well, there's also a lot of misinformation out there, and Anouk shared with me what exactly is happening and their motivation on some of these things and some of the tickets that are actually going to have prices reduced for next year. So we're going to get into that. Going to talk about the media situation with radio and TV. Just a lot of things to get into. Some of the things that they're trying to do moving forward from a fan perspective, fan entertainment perspective. So I spent a lot of time with him. We talked for about 35 minutes. I was able to cut that up into about three segments. So the first three segments of the 7 o'clock hour are going to be in this interview. And I think you'd enjoy it if you're a Cardinals fan and kind of have a vested interest in what's going on over there. And I think most Cardinals, if you are a fan of a team, you have a vested interest in what's going on with the organization. So I would encourage you to be tuned in. So that's going to start just after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX. Wanted to make sure to have enough time to get that in. Bernie Miklas is going to join us here in about 8 minutes or so. Cardinals win today. Good win. It was a fun game. It was an entertaining game. I said this to Kevin Wheeler earlier today when we were doing Redbird Rush Hour. Where I'm at right now, and I like to say, I try not to tell fans how to be fans. Every once in a while, if something's going on where a group of fans is doing something a little bit wacky, I'll say, hey, that's a little wacky. But I try to let fans be fans and take in the games and be a fan in any way that they want to do so. I'm not always successful in that endeavor, but that's always my goal in how I treat these things. But I would encourage you, I think the way that I look at it at this point where there's not a lot to play for in terms of wins and losses because they're not going to be a playoff club, right? That's where they're at. Barring something miraculous, and talking about miracles is not really the thing to do. So barring a miracle, this is not going to be a playoff club this year. What do you take away in the final month of the season? Do you just turn off the TV and turn off the radio because there's not a chance for postseason? I hope not. That's not what I would do. And what I would encourage people to do is enjoy the moments. Because the moments can be cool. And sometimes the moments come from a team standpoint, and sometimes the moments come from an individual standpoint. Today was both. That game today was an entertaining game. It was a 4-1 win. There were a number of good... It was a clean game. A number of good defensive plays being made in the game. Lots of good pitching on each side. Good to see Miles Michaelis have a little bit of a turnaround, and he put together a solid effort here. So there were good things that happened in the game. That's a moment that I enjoy. From an individual standpoint, I'm still a big believer that you can accomplish some things here in the final month when it comes to individuals where they continue to progress and you continue to learn more and more and more going into the offseason and eventually going into spring training. But to see Thomas Tejesi, and I talked about this in the postgame show, so I'm sorry that I'm repeating myself, but I know I'm catching a lot of new people right now as opposed to when I said this 2 hours ago. This was one of my favorite things about today. So yesterday the Cardinals lose, and Ollie comes up and does his postgame media conference, and he says, I know this isn't what people want to hear after a loss, but I was really happy with what Thomas Tejesi did drawing two walks. So Ali saw they've been working with Tejesi on pitch selection or swing decisions, what pitches to swing at. And he drew two walks yesterday. So that was very much improvement. That was Tejesi taking the things that he'd been working on and being able to do something with it and draw two walks. They lost yesterday's game. But Ali and everybody else can be happy that this thing that they are working on, they saw direct results on. And then we fast forward to today, and what happens? So JC takes another step forward, and he has the 2-for-3 day, and he has the biggest hit of the game when he has a double that drives in the go-ahead run in the seventh inning. So that's a moment that I can be really happy to see, that we see that progress from JC. I can be very happy for a Jordan Walker hitting that home run. So that's how I view things, and if you want to enjoy watching, listening, paying attention to the Cardinals between now and the end of the season when a playoff run is not likely, well then being able to enjoy those moments, for me at least, I think is a healthy way to do it. We'll take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk with Bernie Miklas. We'll get his thoughts on where the Cardinals are right now after a good win today. We'll do that coming up in just a moment here on the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've got a lot coming up on the program. Again, during the 7 o'clock hour, we've got about a 35-40 minute conversation with Anouk Karuntarante. He is the Senior Vice President of Business Operations with the Cardinals. Talk through a lot of things like attendance and ticket prices and everything, so I think you'll be interested to hear that. Right now, we're very happy to welcome on to the program, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, it's our good friend Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always appreciate your time. How are you?
Oh, I'm always very happy to have a chance to visit with you. How you doing? I'm great.
I'm good. I listened to Oliver Marmol talk about something last night, and I'm really glad we're talking today because I wanted to get your thoughts. Last year, we spent a ton of time talking about the Cardinals' inability to hit velocity. And we haven't talked about it as much this year, yet it was something that was brought up yesterday by Ollie. And Bernie, it still very much is an issue. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of guys that have the ability to turn on 100-plus mile-per-hour pitches.
It's pretty alarming, you know, and you can even dial it down a little bit. Like, I was doing my own research today, and frankly, I took it from their offense was really good for basically, you know, almost to the end of June. But since June 30th, you know, their offense has just been on a slow, steady decline. And the only reason I'm bringing that up, I wanted to look at the collapse and I wanted to see this fastball factor in the collapse. And it's really, really bad. Talking about 95, any kind of pitch is 95 plus miles an hour. You know, the Cardinals have, I think they are 29th in batting average and 30th in slugging and right on down the line. And then I looked at individual hitters, and it's just not a lot of them are, you know, can handle the high fastball or any kind of four seam fastball. I don't know what the answer is, and I said this in something that I wrote, earlier today that I'm not even joking when I say it. I think we're going to see under Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio and all of those really smart people. I think they're going to start scouting hitters differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, I how can you not, in effect, say, well, wait a minute. We have to look for guys that have shown a consistent ability to handle high-velocity stuff and do well against it. Just like the Cardinals under Heim Bloom working with Randy Flores this year decided, well, you know, we need guys who can throw hard. We just don't have enough of them. And they made a concerted effort to change their philosophy. Does it sound silly that I think they got to change their philosophy when it comes to velocity with their hitters too? They need guys who can hit that stuff.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, but when the opposing team's scouting report can be throw fastballs, that's not good.
No, that's exactly right. No, you're not being a smart aleck because it's true. And I here's the deal, and I won't bore you with numbers, but I went and looked at every other category since June 30th, right? The Cardinals hit changeups. They hit breaking pitches pretty well. They handle curves and sliders pretty well. I mean, they're not like awesome against the sweeper, but that's true of a lot of teams. So to your point, it really is that simple. Because it's like, well, what don't waste time with throwing junk because just go right after them. It makes it a lot easier for pitchers to game plan.
We've discussed this a lot, but I'll bring it up again. It's the guys who are on the team right now. Many of them are nice players. Many of them are players that you can win games with, but they can't be your best players. And that's the problem here, Bernie, that they don't have upper echelon talent right now on this roster.
Well, absolutely. And I'm going to pardon me for using like a fairly recent bit of baseball parlance. But, you know, in major league clubhouses and sort of in the whole major league insider culture, so to speak, I know broadcasters have picked up on it too. You know, there's two kinds of hitters. There's guys and there's dudes. Mm-hmm. And guys are, and this is to your point, guys are major league players. They're regulars. They're solid. They're average, maybe a little bit above average. They're fine players. They're called guys. The dudes are star players who can elevate your team simply by themselves. And if you have a two or three of them, if you have like two, three dudes in your lineup, your offense will be good. The Cardinals have too many guys and not enough dudes. That's what it comes down to.
It happened quickly too, because 3 years ago, when Goldschmidt and Arenado were top three MVP guys, You had two dudes right there, and that was, I remember being in Milwaukee. I think I've said this a million times, so I've probably said it to you. Why, you know, when I was covering the Brewers and they're playing the Cardinals, it just always felt like those two guys were coming back around, and you were always thinking, when does that duo come back up? And it, having that in the lineup impacts everything else in the game.
There's no doubt about it, and in addition to Goldie and Arenado, and they were great first and third, as everybody knows, in the MVP voting that year. But then, you look and you had Albert Pujols was a dude. He had an OPS plus of 151. He hit 24 home runs, most of them in from the middle of June on. Lars Nootbaar had his best season. He was kind of a dude. Donovan was good. They had like seven or eight guys who were above league average offensively, but they had at least three dudes with Goldie and Pujols and Arenado, and they had a couple of younger guys who looked like they could turn into dudes, and that hasn't quite happened. But to your point about 2022, they were loaded with that kind of talent. They really were.
Yeah. It's people keep talking about this Cardinals team being boring, and then they always make that next jump to small ball, whitey ball, yada, yada, yada.
It
doesn't matter if you can or not. If you want to say the team's boring, the team's not boring because they don't put the hit and run on. The teams, you can argue they're boring, is because they don't hit home runs.
St. Louis has got a fetish for small ball. And listen, I love small ball, but this team does not play it well. And this is, without sounding like a jerk, and I do, and I apologize, it's like, know your team. In other words, if you follow the Cardinals, you got to do a better job of knowing the team. Like, you don't say, sit there, you got to play small ball, when this team is really bad at it. They don't steal bases well. They're one of the worst teams in the league statistically in productive outs, moving runners over. They don't run the bases well. They have a terrible sacrifice bunt success rate. They're down there in the rankings for sac flies and everything else. So everyone would say small ball. Well, who are these players that are going to do it? They don't have that kind of style of a team. So I don't understand it. The problem with the Cardinals offense right now, it's like the two worst things you can have about your offense, other than striking out a million times. Since June 30th, and again, they've got the worst offense in baseball since June 30th. That's why I always talk about June 30th. They've literally scored fewer runs than anybody since then. The Cardinals are one of the worst teams in the majors since the end of June at drawing walks and also getting on base. They have a very low on-base percentage. Well, if you're not a power team, and they're not a power-hitting team because they're down in the bottom three or four in slugging and home runs, so let's see, you can't hit home runs. You don't hit home runs. Your slugging percentage is awful. But you also don't get on base. I mean, so if you don't have a power hitting team, you got to have, at least you got to have a team that gets on base a lot. And then you have a chance to score some runs that way. But they don't do that. It's like the worst of both worlds. Very little power. And they've lapsed into this terrible rut of like just not getting on base. Their walk rate since the end of June is one of the worst in Major League Baseball. So how are you going to score runs if you can't put people on base consistently and you can't hit for power? Where are the runs going to come? I guess the answer is they're not, which is why the Cardinals have scored fewer runs than anybody since the end of June.
Did you see the thing where A.J. Pierzynski on Foul Territory recounted a conversation he had with Ollie where he said the agents are telling the players not to steal bases?
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I didn't know either. And it kind of is connected to what we were just talking about, but it does seem like is it only Cardinals players' agents that are saying that? Because it does feel like there are more stolen bases for other teams.
I think the Cardinals have been trying to steal more often. And I'm not ready to, declare them, like the Whitey Herzog Cardinals of, 1982, 85, 87. But I think the Cardinals have picked up the pace a little bit, stealing bags. But that's still not their strength. Just because they're stealing a little more, it doesn't mean they're great at it. But I do think they need to try to kick up some dirt a little bit. But how do you do that if you don't have a team built to do that? And so that's why I think we're going to see an aggressive roster makeover. And I'm not saying it's going to happen in one off season. You can't have a team that can't hit fastballs, that can't hit for power, that can't draw walks and get on base at a high rate. I mean, that's basically a dead offense. That is a dud offense because you don't have any real strength.
He is Bernie Miklas. You hear him all the time here on KMOX, not just on this show, but on Redbird Rush Hour and Gas House Gang. He's part of the team over at STL Sports Central. Daily written content. If you're not reading his daily Cardinals column, Redbird Review, you're missing out because it's great stuff. And he puts a lot of work into it, I know, because I see all the numbers he looks up. And it's a great resource for Cardinals fans out there. Bernie, we appreciate your time, and we know you wouldn't be here without the help of the good folks over at Saliga.
Yeah, I love Saliga Heating and Cooling, and I sincerely mean that. You know, this family has owned the business, the Saliga family, since 1927, four generations. And I come from a family that had a generational business like that, where all the kids, all the grandkids, you know, worked in the family business, and it went on like that for 30, 40 years. I worked in the family business. It means a lot when your name is on the sign and your last name is on the vans and your last name is everywhere. I mean, you've got to take pride in that, and it makes you better at what you do in terms of treating the customers right. So I can relate to the Saliga family very well, and I bond with them in a lot of ways is because sometimes you don't know when it comes to heating and cooling, and this is a Daikin Comfort dealer. Sometimes if you never had to call anyone, you're not sure who you can trust. I'm here to tell you the Miklas family has been calling Saliga for 17 years, and they set the standard for honesty, integrity, their knowledge, their professionalism, their prompt service. When they come into your home, they're classy. They have never sell us the most expensive thing to solve a problem. They look for less expensive solutions. And they will never have tried to take advantage of us or sweet talk us into something more expensive, something we didn't need. They play it straight, and they're as honest as you could possibly dream of, and that's why we love Saliga Heating and Cooling. One more thing before I go. They have a priority club. We're members of it. It's a maintenance plan. It's going to save you money by extending the life of your current equipment, and it has saved us a lot of money. So find out more about that and everything else with Saliga Heating and Cooling by going to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Thank you.
Back at it on the Gray Bar Sports Overline. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. We are efforting right now Heath Pierce from Apple TV and MLS Season Pass.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A guy who played MLS soccer, played a number of years, also played in Europe as well, and he's going to be part of the broadcast. So we hope to be able to get him with us in just a few minutes. It's really been our first opportunity to talk about City since the firing, the moving on from Lutz Pfannenstiel, their sporting director, and now so many things are in flux here at the moment. And don't completely know what it's going to look like. We do know that they are en route to missing the playoffs once again this year. They're going to match up against Houston coming up in a game that's going to be on Saturday. With that, happy to welcome on to the program, again, part of the team at Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. He is Heath Pierce, and he joins us right now. Heath, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what was your initial reaction when you heard that City had moved on from Lutz Pfannenstiel?
It wasn't surprising for me. I think, you know, Lutz had done a great job of building the foundation for the club, but the results ultimately, when you go through coaching changes, if they don't improve, you know, ultimately you have to keep going upwards. And so for me, it felt like a project that he had done really well to build, and perhaps it was time to transition to the next phase of the future of the club.
Some people ask about the timing. Was this something where he'd done work going into the transfer window, and if you make the move, say, the same time that you move on from Olaf Melberg, well, then you might be a little bit behind in terms of what you want to do in the transfer window. So waiting for that is maybe the reason that they chose the timing that they did?
Yeah, I think when you look at the timing of it, you would have to assume, and I'd actually heard from a few people who were having casual conversations about the head coaching job through Lutz. And so you would have to assume that he was active in the marketplace for the next players, active in the marketplace for what they're looking at in terms of the coaching staff. And so as an ownership group, my only assumption is that, you know, you have to make a decision on, is this the right guy for our future to, you know, help us bring in the next coach that's going to get us the results that we want, to build the team that we want. You know, you have Olaf came in and playing a very different type of style than Bradley Carnell. You see Bradley Carnell at the moment just doing really well with Philadelphia Union in that sort of Red Bull style of play. And so when you think about that, and then the interims that have stepped in, whether that's John Hackworth or otherwise, you know, you kind of have to take at a certain point, take a step back and have a holistic point of view as to, okay, we've done well to get the club to this point. We came out firing in year one. We've had some struggles. Obviously the club's dealt with a number of injuries of the best players, like any club has had as the congestion of fixtures continues to grow. But now looking at the next window, and by window I mean kind of 3 to 5 years, you have to be able to take a holistic look at your team and your staff and really look and see, is this the right person to carry us forward as a club?
You mentioned how they've looked different under the coaches, but some of the kind of tenets have stayed the same. At a base level, there's a certain style that they want to stick with under Lutz, and all indications are they want to continue to play in that kind of way. The way City wants to play, do you feel like with the resources that they have, the kind of players they're going to be able to bring in, the money that they're going to be able to spend, is this something that can work for them long term?
I think so. I think when you think about the way that they want to play, it's a very rewards-based system, right, in terms of being high energy, being good on the counter press. You know, I had a chance to talk to interim coach David Critchley today, and he mentioned sort of the iteration of the team and the buy-in and the belief. He made some changes the moment that he came in that are a little bit different than Olaf Melberg, but based on the same, you know, similar principles. So not a revolution, but an evolution of where they were at and getting buy-in. And obviously, you know, one of the points that he made was, you know, the whole world sees 90 minutes every week and they don't actually see, the work of the progress that's happening within the team. They see the 90 minutes and then they see ultimately the team more often than not on the bad side of the results. But you've seen an increase in scoring, an increase of, I think, predictability. And so when you think about a personnel-based system, you have to have that buy-in across the board, especially in the modern game. If you have one or two players that aren't bought into, you know, whether that's the pressing game or how you want to build up, it breaks down pretty quickly. And so I think things seem to be moving in the right direction, I think, in terms of the buy-in and what the club stands for. And then the next part is now bringing in, you know, the next phase of players into the offseason, into the next year, that can continue to bolster the squad and continue going down the direction of how the club ultimately wants to play within the DNA that it's built over the last couple of seasons.
I don't want to spend too much time looking back, but that the loss against Vancouver was very much marred from a city standpoint by a call that city fans were not happy with that led to a penalty kick. And I know you saw the video. What are your opinions on that? There's some people who are adamant that that was a correct call, that there was contact. Other people believe there was zero contact whatsoever. Where do you stand on the way that went down?
Yeah, for me, I think there's contact. I think circumstantially, though, a feel of the game, you have a player running away from the goal, you have incidental contact. No one would ever in their right mind at that point in the game try to bring down a player. It's an unfortunate one where you leave it to ultimately the feel of the officials. I feel in that moment St. Louis City were hard done in that call. It's unfortunate. I think it's a little bit unfair, given at that moment in time. And so, of course, we're seeing this more often. Anytime you have a chance to break down something over and over again, it's very easy to go to like letter of the law. Like, yeah, of course he didn't mean to trip him, but he tripped him, or there was contact there. And I feel, in my opinion, when I look at the circumstances surrounding the goal, right, the movement of the attacking player moving away from the goal, working away in a sense that never really in a threat. He's not in contact with the ball. He's running away from the box. Those types of things, I think, in the way that I see the game, need to be taken into account before making a decision like that. And I feel like St. Louis got drew the short stick on that one.
We're talking with Heath Pierce. From an officiating standpoint, in addition to playing in MLS, you were all over the place. You were in Europe, of course, a big part of the U.S. men's national team for a pretty long time. Is there anything about the way MLS soccer is officiated that you feel is different from either national soccer or also what's going on in Europe?
No, I think it's a universal issue that every league feels like it has certain strengths within their officials, certain weaknesses. I think implementing a number of the technologies that are coming in, we saw the video offside line in League's Cup. Having VAR, I think is better than not. But sometimes ultimately they get it wrong, and I think you can have an entire way or a crew of people that feel a certain way, and obviously it's always ends up being a lot of times when you go to review it can end up being a very subjective choice of a conversation amongst officials. This is a recommendation, this is what we think, and it comes down to that center official having to make that tough decision. And in a circumstance like that, again, when I peel back all of the layers of what I saw, I just feel like it was the wrong decision.
City SC playing host to Houston on Saturday night. You're on the call of this matchup, right? Am I correct? Okay. Have you been to Energizer Park yet?
I have. About two seasons ago, got greeted with some great food in the booth, from local vendors. Had a great experience. The city, I like the energy of the city, and then obviously the atmosphere is absolutely phenomenal.
What is your key? Is these two teams matched up about a month and a half ago, right at the end of June, and it was a very, very tight match. Houston scored the only goal of the match. What's the key here for City as they try to find a way to get a win on what's been a very emotional week for this team?
Well, I think it's about discipline, right? You saw, okay, you take away that goal from Vancouver, but it's still those late goals against. I think, getting into dangerous spots more consistently is a theme that's trending in the right direction. Scoring more goals is trending in the right direction for St. Louis. But against Houston, they play with a high energy as well. They're vulnerable, right? They're a little bit fragile in terms of a team right now. I know the mood within the locker room is really good. I think when you get to this point of the season, especially for Houston, who have a much closer but still a distant picture of reaching the playoffs, it becomes very clear what the objective is, right? They have to come to St. Louis and they have to leave with all 3 points. And that can either be a strong positive of momentum to ride that energy for Houston, or St. Louis can look at it a different way and say, hey, if we're disciplined in the right ways, eventually Houston have to take chances that we might not otherwise have to take that are going to leave them exposed or vulnerable for us to be able to capitalize on. And then it ultimately comes down to the boxes, right? box defending for St. Louis and then being dangerous on the attacking end. We know that the front four from St. Louis are continuing to improve and get better and better. It's good to see sort of that consistent lineup over these last couple of games on the attacking end. But it's just about having that ruthless mentality in front of goal. I think this game does get, yes, it's going to come down to transitions of who can sort of capitalize on transitions where one of the two teams is exposed, but it's still going to come down to box defending and box attacking. And I think who can be more efficient in that is going to get the better of this game.
Heath Pierce, he's part of the team with MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. If you don't have it yet and you're a soccer fan, I don't know what you're waiting for. Their presentation of the game is absolutely spectacular. They provide every single minute of MLS soccer for you, plus studio programming, other features. It is really, really good, and you should check it out for yourself. Heath, appreciate the time. Enjoy your time in St. Louis, and we'll talk again down the line.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very good. That's Heath Pierce joining us on the program. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program and get you set for a cool interview that's going to be coming up during the 7 o'clock hour. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Hour number one of the program. Here's what's coming up in hour number two. Most of the hour is going to be spent with Anouk Karuntarante. He is the Senior Vice President for Business Operations for the Cardinals. We're going to talk about the business side of the organization, and that's just about everything. Yeah. We get a million messages about attendance and ticket sales and things like that. And even though that's not my favorite thing to talk about, we indeed are going to touch on that and a few other things as well. So hopefully you stick with us through the 7 o'clock news. What's on Deck is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have the very best, ChesterfieldFence.com. Cardinals are set to open up a 3-game series in Cincinnati against the Reds. Kind of a weird schedule quirk where they're home all week. They roll out for a quick weekend, and then they're going to be right back at it at home coming up on Monday afternoon. If you blink, you're not even going to notice that the team is on the road, but they do play a 3-game series, and that's going to be against the Reds, and that's going to start coming up tomorrow, a 5:40 first pitch. That means our coverage tomorrow begins at 4:45. This upcoming series, the starting pitching interests me. The Cardinals list Matthew Liberatore, Michael McGreevy, and Andre Pallante. After Pallante's last start, when I listened to Oliver Marmol in his postgame, I thought to myself, there's no way Pallante makes his next start. You know what? Exact same thing happened to me earlier this year with Eric Fetty. Fetty had a terrible start. I listened to Oliver Marmol, and I said, there's no way he makes his next start. I said it on the postgame show, and lo and behold, he made his next start. I'm not trying to, I can be wrong. That's fine. I'm not worried about that part of it. But digging in a little bit on this, and I'm going to sound arrogant when I say this. I'm really not trying to sound arrogant. Like, I've been around long enough to know, like, the key with the tag words that are used when decisions, where a guy's probably not going to make his next start, right? And now, maybe Pallante does not make the start on Sunday. Maybe they've just got him in the rotation right now because they're not ready to make an official declaration, and that could be. But he could also make his next start. I find it to be very interesting that words are said this year after games that make you believe that somebody is not going to be still in the rotation, and then all of a sudden they're still in there, and it makes me wonder where the decision making process is coming from. I have a lot of questions about this, but yeah, that's so. Watching Pallante on Sunday, if he is in there, is interesting to me, and then what's going to happen with Matthew Liberatore is also something that, yeah, you know, he's a guy who's having a hard time holding velocity. And that's the main thing. And I don't think it's building back quite the way they wanted it to build back. And that's where he's at right now. Okay, so we have just a moment or so left here in the program. Not the program, the first hour of the show, excuse me. As we're, again, Anouk Kurunturanti is going to be our guest in the 7 o'clock hour. And we hope to be able to, we hope that you enjoy the conversation, because I think it's going to be, for you, it's a good opportunity to get a look inside the business operation of what's going on with the Cardinals. So that's coming up in just a few moments after the 7 o'clock news, right here on KMOX. Again, it is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Into our second and final hour of the program. The vast majority of this hour is going to be me playing for you a conversation that I had earlier today with Cardinals Senior Vice President for Business Operations, Anouk Kurunturanti. He's a really interesting guy, has ties to St. Louis as he was at Washington University, came to the Cardinals from the Toronto Blue Jays. This is his second season, and this is really the first season where I feel like some of the changes and some of the some of his impact that he wanted to have on the Cardinals have really started to come through. So I just wanted to, I've been wanting to do this really since the beginning of the year, but I'm glad I was able to do it now, because we've gone through so much of the season, and we've got a few more talking points to get to. But I've been wanting to talk to him for a while and kind of talk about the business operation of the Cardinals and where things are at, because there's so much to talk about, whether it's attendance and ticket sales and the media stuff going on, TV deals, all that. It really falls under his purview. So we'll get this thing started. And the first thing that I talked to him about is just what it's been like for him over the last really year and a half or so, as he spent much of his first season observing. And then this has been the year where things that he's wanted to put in place have really started to indeed be put in place.
Yeah, that's right. I think I was on the ground here in mid-February, so pretty close to opening day, probably too close to try to change anything at that point. So coming in, my focus was listen, learn, observe, and really try to understand, you know, the strengths and the uniqueness of this organization, of this market, but also to just have a third-party perspective on what some of our opportunities might be, what some of our challenges are, and where we need to evolve.
You had spent time in St. Louis from your time at WashU. You spent time in Major League Baseball with the Toronto Blue Jays. So there's a familiarity with a lot of things, but not everything. As you walked in and went through that observation, what struck you? What maybe did you see with this organization that you weren't expecting to see?
I don't know that I wasn't expecting to see it, but the things that stand out to me, I mean, this is such a strong baseball market, even though, you know, right now the media coverage is, you know, maybe suggesting otherwise. I think we have one of the strongest fan bases, if not the strongest in the country. You know, it's a regional fan base. It's a generational fan base, certainly different from the environment I came in from. In Toronto, which that franchise is, you know, less than 50 years old. Here, you know, we'll soon be 150 years old. So, you know, just the history and the tradition, probably one passion, both from our fans and from within the organization. You can tell how much people care and how much it means to them to wear the birds on the bat on their, you know, not the uniform personnel, but from our staff. And that level of care shows through. So those are some of the strengths. I think in terms of opportunity, you know, some of them are situational, going from a 20-year run of success into more of a transitional, at least in terms of record, period of time presents, you know, different opportunities. And then in terms of just how consumer behavior, fan behavior, and expectations are evolving, whether that's driven by technology or media, And what that means in terms of how we have to meet those fans where they are today. Their expectations for live entertainment have evolved. The way that they consume media has evolved. And that necessitates us to think differently about how people want to engage with the Cardinals, whether that's on social media or TV or here at Busch Stadium. So I think those were some of my initial observations.
I should have probably led with this, but in your job, your responsibilities – from a business operations standpoint, there's the baseball side and there's the business side, and you're very involved, kind of, you know, right there at the top, kind of leading this business operation. So is it correct to say, for people listening, if it's not directly connected to baseball, it comes somewhat under your purview?
Yeah, for the most part. My focus is on, you know, sales, marketing, our broadcast relationships, sales being both ticket sales and corporate partnerships. And then some of our back office functions like HR, IT, strategy. So, you know, I think that's a helpful way to think about the two sides of the house.
I think people like to know, business folks working in a baseball team, do they love baseball? So I ask you that. Where are you at in terms of watching the game, enjoying the game, loving the game?
Yeah, I would say baseball is too much of a grind to not love it. You know, if you're going to work in this game, it will weed out those who don't have a passion for it. So this is my 10th season, and it's gone, you know, incredibly fast. But I've always been a huge sports fan, always been a baseball fan. I grew up in Vancouver on the west coast of Canada. And so, you know, proximity-wise, I grew up following the Mariners, and then the Blue Jays eventually, as they kind of grew their fan base across Canada. So baseball has always been a big part of my life. Sports has always been a big part of my life. And, you know, I get a lot of energy in the morning, getting out of bed, knowing that I'm coming here as opposed to any other job that I could have. So yeah, it's special.
One of the things I enjoy about our conversations is I feel like when I say things, you're listening to what I say. And very often there's a follow-up question. I don't know if there's anybody I talk to very often that I get as many follow-up questions on things than you. I'll mention something about my past jobs or whatever. There's a natural curiosity, it seems like, with you that I've noticed. How important is it for you to indeed have curiosity and just to kind of see things in as many ways as possible?
Yeah, it's really important. I think, you know, I'm not somebody who claims to know all the answers, but, and I say this to our staff all the time, but it's more important to think of, are we asking the right questions? And if you ask the right questions, that's at least you're on the path to figuring out what the answer should be. And so, for me, you know, part of my values are humility is important, and you have to be humble to be open-minded enough to get better. And our job here is to improve and get better, both on the field and off the field. And so without humility, you can't do that. You can't be open-minded enough to even be curious, because you have to accept that there's things that we can get better at in order to get better. So, you know, that's you know, I think one lens of that. The other is, and it's been a big focus for us this year, is we need to be asking questions of our fans, because as, you know, as we think about the business side of the organization, in the end, our stakeholders are our fans, whether that's season ticket holders, whether that's, you know, single game ticket buyers or people that are watching on TV or streaming or in any other way that they'd engage with the Cardinals. That's, you know, that's ultimately who our boss is. And we need to understand what's important to them, and especially if those things have changed over time. So we've spent a lot of effort and energy this year on trying to understand what our fans want, either reconfirming things we already know, or in some cases, discovering things that we didn't know were important to them, and then trying to reflect those things in the experience, whether that's in the ballpark or in how they interact with us on, in other forms. So I guess, you know, a lot of that does come from curiosity, but it's driven by the desire on how can we get better. That's the focus. And I think the same mindset is true on the baseball operations side. If we're going to win a 12th World Series championship, which is certainly part of the reason I came here, it's going to have to start there.
Anuk Karunaratne is continuing to join us, Senior Vice President of Business Operations with the Cardinals. A couple of the things that are new this year, the Friday Night Live with everything going up in right field, and also the post-game concerts that took place this year as well. What's been the response to those? Have you been pretty happy with how those have gone?
Yeah, I mean, I think this year was really about, like I said, understanding our fans. And as we thought about Friday Night Live, the thought was, how can we create an environment that some of our younger fans would resonate with? You know, people that were in their late teens or 20s or early 30s. And so the concept of Friday Night Live came out of how can we create a cool atmosphere pregame on Friday nights and extend that into the game, extend it postgame. And so we've been really happy with how that's worked. The way it has worked out is that each Friday has been a little bit different in terms of the musical act that's played. So two of those Fridays were post-game concerts, as you know. And we've seen a lot of activity in Bud Terrace, where it's kind of Friday Night Live Central, mm-hmm. even though it does spill out from there. And it's been really cool to see. And the demographic is reflective of what we hoped to achieve. Not that there's not fans of all ages up there, but you do tend to see a little bit more of a younger demo up there. And so that's encouraging. You know, I think that's an idea that can evolve. This was kind of phase one of testing it out. There's been certainly some learnings that we've taken from it, both good and bad, that that we hope to address. But we've been happy with how that's gone. And the post-game concerts were kind of a similar thought process, except with a different audience in mind, of people that might decide to come to a baseball game if there was some other reason, like a concert, to come. So that was, you know, one of the groups we were thinking about. And the other is obviously fans that would enjoy supplementing their baseball experience with a concert. That was a really positive experience. You know, we learned a lot about the logistics of the concert. We learned about maybe like what this market prefers in terms of types of artists. As we start to think about what we might do next year, you know, country versus rock versus hip hop, certainly have a different impact in like how big the artist is as well. But I would say both of those have been incredibly valuable in terms of helping us understand how that might fit in into the bigger picture moving forward. And so for that reason, have been successful.
You are listening to a conversation with Anuk Karunaratne. He is the Senior Vice President of Business Operations for the St. Louis Cardinals. Much more with him coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Getting to a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. At 8 o'clock, Jen Cease is going to be in here for City Spotlight. A lot of things to talk about when it comes to City SC with the week that they just had, moving on from Sporting Director Lutz Vonnegut. But we are continuing, speaking of leadership in sports organizations, we are continuing to play back for you a conversation that I had earlier today with Cardinals Senior Vice President for Business Operations, Anuk Karunaratne. As we continued on with our conversation, we did talk about the attendance, and that's the elephant in the room, right? We have seen the attendance numbers this year fall even further from where they were at last year. An organization that routinely brought in 3 million fans per year, it has moved into a little bit of a downturn. Now, obviously, a lot of that has to do with the baseball product. There's people out there that are unhappy with the baseball operation and are trying to make a point by not showing up to games. All of that exists. But there's also things that can be done on a business operation side of things as well. And that's what I wanted to talk about with Anuk, where I asked him, what can they do on the business side to help try to build back the crowds at Busch Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, it's, if you think about, I think it's fair to say, like, one reason is, you know, related to on-field, but there's many reasons why it might be down. And many of them have to do with things that are within our control. We ultimately have to create compelling experiences for our fans, right? If if that's an experience that lets you bond with your family or your friends or clients or whoever it is, and it's a positive experience, that's one of the reason people come out to the ballpark. And so we have to figure out how to get them off their couch. We're competing with many more opportunities for people to spend their disposable time and income. And that's why we've placed such a focus on experience and such a focus on understanding our fans and what they want. So I would say that, you know, that's definitely a big part of it. And it's something that will build incrementally over time. I think that every team that goes through a competitive cycle sees a difference between what the attendance at the peak was and what attendance when you're not at the peak looks like. And so there's a difference there. That's not surprising, I think, although it's new for this market. And I think that's been one of the things that's been notable for me, is how foreign of a feeling that is here. Whereas if you go to any other city where baseball is played, maybe with very few exceptions, people are used to going through the cycle. So I think the degree of newness of that makes it feel more pronounced. But certainly we're not happy with where it's at. And there's work to do. We're focused on that. Some of this is thinking about how we build that in the long run. This year for us was very much foundational, not about being reactive, because it's something we'll have to build back, not something that can be addressed with Band-Aid solutions. So, so that's my thought on that.
There are some markets where the on-field product has less of an impact on attendance. You had a huge impact on what happened with Toronto, where you were working at before. I was there last year when the Cardinals were there. That team was out of contention, and that ballpark was rocking. The Colorado Rockies are never in contention. You walk into that ballpark, and a lot of people are showing up because it's a cover charge to the world's biggest bar in Denver. Right. It's a different environment. Do you feel like there are things that can do? I'm not saying that you don't want to win baseball games. The goal here is to win baseball games, but there are things that can happen from a business operations standpoint that can help the environment maintain a certain level almost no matter what happens with baseball, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think, like I said, that's ultimately what you'd like to do, because if we can keep attendance more stable and revenues more stable, it helps us be more competitive in the long run. You know, having volatility in attendance, isn't a thing you aspire to. Mm-hmm. That said, there's only so much you can do, right? And like a building like Toronto that you were in the year you were there was year one of a new renovation. And so that was probably extra incentive for people to come check it out that year. But I think that part of it is physical environment and space. As we think about this ballpark, it's 20 years old. We're starting to think about how renovations might factor into achieving some of those goals that you talked about. Colorado did some of those renovations about 5 or 10 years ago. They introduced the rooftop. I don't know if you've been there,
yeah.
But they basically took out a huge part of their upper deck and turned it into the largest bar in Denver, as you described it. And so I think it's finding ways to get people to come down and view the experience of being at the game through a broader lens than just sitting in your seat and watching the 9 innings, and expanding it to think about the time you're spending with the people you want to be spending it with. Basically increasing the experiential value of being at a game. And I think those are things that we'll start to think about here as well. But like I said, that takes time to build. And it takes a long-term view, which is how we're thinking about it.
How would you describe the relationship, the intersection, just the business side, the baseball side? Because you guys are all pulling in the same direction, but with jobs that look very different. Is there a lot of communication? Is there working together? Is it kind of two things on its own? Just kind of that broad topic, take it however you would like.
Yeah. I think the most relatable way is it's kind of like two business units in the same company. You know, they really are focused on different things, although there are areas of natural overlap. We're rowing in the same direction. We're rooting for each other. There's overlap in marketing, in communications, in how we think about budgeting and timing in terms of facility operations. There are points of overlap where we are in direct communication, collaboration, working together. But there's also areas of each operation that, you don't really intersect with. We don't spend time thinking about player acquisition or roster construction or player development or any of those things, even though they do impact, the extent of how successful or unsuccessful we are. And so part of that for us is, trying to isolate for that variable and thinking of what our expectations for ourselves should be at any given point in time. So I would say it does function as, really two different organizations in a way, with one set of goals and a shared set of values trying to help each other.
This time last year, maybe this time a year and a half ago, there was such unrest in terms of both regional cable and also sports gambling. Sports gambling starts in Missouri in December. Cardinals have an official gaming partner. The deal is done, at least for a little while, for regional TV. There's going to be a big TV deal that's going to come up nationally for Major League Baseball. Is this still something that is evolving and changing on a every year basis, or are we at a point where maybe things are going to start to stabilize?
With TV, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. if I had the answer to that, then I may be a wealthy man, but it does feel like it's evolving extremely rapidly. Like, I think, is it stabilizing? Maybe relative to, you know, some points in time in the past. But I think that we're not done with, the evolution that's still currently underway, you know, and that's broader than just regional sports. That's happening across ESPN. It's happening at a national level where the distribution mechanisms have not settled. What the role of streaming is relative to cable, relative to broadcast, hasn't settled yet. And who the players are, whether it's going to end up being Netflix or YouTube or Apple TV versus like ESPN or something that's owned by the leagues, that hasn't settled yet either. I think the only piece of this that is constant is that people want to watch sports and they want it to be easy mm-hmm. and they want it to be accessible. And we still have work to do on that front. And so that's when I think about it, you know, I always think about, and this doesn't apply to just TV, control what you can control. And within the whole media landscape, there are many things that we can't control. And then there are the few things that we can. And so our focus has been, how can we make sure that our fans can access our games more easily than they could in the past with the constraints that are in place? How can we educate them on the different ways that they can do that? And ultimately, the more people that can watch our games, the better it is for our fans, the better it is for our organization. That's how we're going to build new lifelong fans of the game. So this year we introduced two new initiatives aimed at achieving that. The first was in partnership with FanDuel, we launched a direct-to-consumer streaming option for fans this year. So you didn't need a cable subscription. You could stream Cardinal baseball anywhere in our 9-state TV territory, whereas you would have been blacked out previously if you tried to buy it. And then the other thing is we partnered with Gray Media to do 10 over-the-air broadcast games, so free TV access. And the combination of those two things we've been really pleased with in terms of how it's impacted reach and viewership. Obviously, that over-the-air games are accessible to anyone. You know, I think we have like 8.5 million households in our broader territory, almost 20 million people. All of them could watch if they chose to those 10 games. And so we've seen ratings increase this year, you know, even though attendance has gone the other way, which is a positive sign. You know, it's a sign that maybe it's not broad apathy as much as it is the mix of how people are choosing to watch our games, whether in person or on TV. And then with the introduction of streaming, we've also seen a significant increase in people that are watching through that channel. So overall, our audience has grown pretty significantly this year, which I don't think anyone, including myself, would have bet money on that at the start mm-hmm. of the year. So we've been really happy with that.
You're listening to the conversation that I had earlier today with Senior Vice President for Business Operations with the Cardinals, Anuk Karunaratne, as we've got one more segment to go with him. We'll continue the conversation about just the media part of what's going on with the Cardinals and Major League Baseball, get his thoughts on re-upping with KMOX, what's going on here with national TV deals. And then there's also been a lot of chatter recently about the price of tickets, specifically season tickets for next year, going up. What's the truth? What's not the truth? Some of the things that have been said on social media have not been completely true. Some of them have been. So we'll get his thoughts on what's happening with season ticket prices. That's all going to be coming up in the final part of our conversation. That's up next right here. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back into a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening and continuing our conversation that I recorded earlier today with Anuk Karunaratne. He is the Senior Vice President for Business Operations with the Cardinals. It has been a somewhat eventful season when it comes to the relationship between the Cardinals and KMOX. Leading into the year, we added the FM signal, 104.1 FM, which has been great. We still have 11:20 a.m., so we're able to reach Cardinals fans really across the country with that, but a much better in the city and surrounding area signal on the FM side with 104.1 FM. And also this year, the Cardinals and KMOX announcing an extension, as KMOX will remain the flagship station for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. So as I did continue the conversation with Anuk, I asked him just about his thoughts on that relationship between the Cardinals and KMOX.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the historical significance of this relationship, which, you know, dates back to, you know, either the 1920s or 30s. It's a longstanding relationship, and I think we're really proud.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Proud of how far-reaching and passionate our fan base is. You know, you can go pretty much anywhere in the country and find Cardinal fans. And, you know, within concentric circles of St. Louis, there's still an incredibly passionate fan base. And I think a lot of that has to do with our early partnership with KMOX and being the southern and westernmost team in the country for many, many decades. And KMOX taking us into households, into living rooms, all across the country, and in particular in the Midwest. And so I think there's a special bond there between the two organizations. I think, you know, the Cardinals wouldn't be what the Cardinals are if not for that early history. And so as we think about the future, we're excited about the continuation of the partnership, KMOX celebrating its 100th year anniversary. You know, and we'll be soon celebrating our 100th year anniversary of our first World Series win. And so I think we're really pleased to see it continue.
From a national TV standpoint, there's been a lot of news lately.
Mr. Manfred, baseball commissioner, does he unilaterally with his team make decisions, or how much do local teams, local owners, folks like you, how much are you part of the discussion of where this is going to go moving forward?
Are you referring to like national the current, not like the Sunday Night Baseball package, as an example?
Yes.
Yeah. So those, so the way that the CBA is constructed currently, and you know the team rights are constructed currently, is MLB controls a package of national games, and those games are distributed across a few different partners, like ESPN being one of them, but you know TBS, et cetera. And the league decides how best to do those deals in a way that maximizes revenue for the league and maximizes reach from a national broadcast standpoint. They'll obviously ask for club input, not necessarily on deal points, but more so on what we're trying to achieve in terms of results and outcomes from these kinds of arrangements, and pain points of the current situation. So we do have input into that, but ultimately it is the team at MLB that's responsible for doing those national TV deals.
Last topic for you, and more than anything else, I just kind of want to clear up some, I think, misconceptions that are out there. If you're on social media, you think that Cardinals are going to be raising season ticket prices, you know, 30% across the board going into next season. And that's, we've had private conversations. I know that's not true. I want the correct information out there. So can you share a little bit about what is going to be happening in terms of ticket prices for next season?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking that. And I think to your point, there's been some misreporting or fake news, as the president might say. So, you know, our ticket prices have not gone up significantly, especially for season ticket holders. You know, and I touched on this earlier, but our season ticket holders are among our most loyal and longstanding fans. And, we're putting a lot of focus on how we can increase their value proposition and make sure that they feel the love back in return from the Cardinals that they've demonstrated for so long. As far as pricing goes, the average season ticket, price increase across all price scales is, around 2.5%. So that's the average. Nearly a third of our seating locations have either no price increase or have decreased in price. And that's the first time we've significantly decreased prices, because our goal this year was to look at what's the relative value of these seats. How are they selling on the primary market? How are they selling on the secondary market? We want to make sure that they're priced relative to demand. And in places where we feel like there's less demand, and you can see it out in the bowl, you know, we need to make sure they're priced correctly. Similarly, on the flip side, in some of the higher demand areas, there might be slight price increases. But, you know, nearly, like I said, nearly a third of the seats were either flat or down. And only about 8% of the seats have a price increase that are 10% if you are taking advantage of some of the early discount options that we're providing to people. So I think it's a little bit unfair to open a single season ticket invoice that happens to be in the best seats in the building and claim that increase is reflective of the average. It's not. But that's just pricing. I think the point I want to emphasize is a lot of the changes that we've made this year, the introduction of an option to renew early, was driven by us talking to our season ticket holders, surveying them, and getting their input. Similar with the approach we're taking in every other area of the business, and asking them what's important to them. And one of the things that came up through that process was the ability to have a payment plan. So in the past, you would have to pay in full by the deadline, the entirety of your season ticket invoice, which, depending on how many seats you have, could be a large number. And so this year we decided to introduce a payment plan for people that wanted it. And so if you renew by the early renewal deadline, which is in September, you get access to an interest-free payment plan. You get a 5% discount on your 2026 invoice. You have the ability to relocate, and there's some additional benefits as well. And so I think it makes a lot of sense if you're considering to renew your seats, that you take advantage of those benefits, but you don't have to do it. It's optional. So that's, you know, hopefully clarified things. And, you know, we focused a lot on making sure our season ticket holders understood that. Mm-hmm. But we probably could have done a better job clarifying that with some folks in the media as well.
How important is that? Just the communication process, whether it's me, whether it's the Post-Dispatch, whether it's anybody, and even from a baseball standpoint, just the organization being able to get out in front of things and be clear in communication. So situations like this, yeah, where social media takes off on you and there's not something in place to kind of tell the true story.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than any other aspect of your life. You know, it's never a bad thing to communicate. Sometimes it's hard to over-communicate. That's something that we're certainly focused on. I think in this case, we were focused on trying to communicate with our fans directly, with our season ticket holders. And, you know, I think that's certainly an area that's important. And, it's one of the reasons why I'm doing this show with you.
Very good. Well, Nook, I really appreciate your time. You've been very gracious with it. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. And, happy to do it anytime.
That was my conversation with Anouk Karuntaratne, really busy guy. Really appreciate the fact that he would spend 30-plus minutes with us earlier today to talk through a lot of things. Hopefully that answers. Yeah, I get questions about, you know, business-related stuff when it comes to the Cardinals, whether it's what's going on with attendance, what's going on with promotions, what's going on with ticket prices, all of that. And we tried to answer a bunch of those questions. And yeah, we'll talk to him every once in a while just to kind of get an update on where things are from a business standpoint, because going to the games and enjoying it or watching the games on TV, it's all part of the experience of Cardinals baseball. One more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. From this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line, my appreciation to Anouk Karuntaratne for joining us for such an extended amount of time. I hope you were able to take something from that interview. If you missed any of it, it'll all be available on the podcast version and also on the video version, which is available on YouTube, Twitter. You can go to the Odyssey app, wherever it might be, and you can find it for sure. Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis. It's a great place to work. Let's get a quick update on J.J. Weatherholt. Yeah, it continues to go pretty well for him. At AAA Memphis, he is a .336 hitter in the month of August, hitting .342 with a .986 OPS. Really good to continue to see what J.J. Weatherholt is doing. We're going to get out of here in just a moment or so, but once I'm done, it's going to be nothing but city soccer for the next hour as Jen Cease is in for the City Spotlight Show. Hey, Jen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I had better results I liked than the last game from Vancouver.
That's I know you're going to talk with George tonight about the penalty. This was my first Sports Open Line since the moving on of Lutz Fanschiel.
That's right.
That was I was personally surprised by it, but a lot of people have told me I shouldn't have been surprised.
I was a little of both. So I was a little surprised by the timing. We've got some audio from President and GM Diego Gigliani kind of explaining why. We'll play that in the first segment, kind of talking about what their thought was behind the timing. I wasn't surprised. You know, pro sports, you know, when you don't get results, somebody kind of goes. He was maybe the logical choice at some point. So I'm kind of surprised, maybe not by the timing a little bit.
I'm of the belief that optics matter and words matter and things like that. With all due respect to all the messaging that came out afterwards, saying that they'll try to have in place a new sporting director and a new head coach before next, like, no, don't do it. Get it done.
Get it done.
I don't understand why they, maybe it was just, I talk a lot and sometimes the words coming out of my mouth are not the words that I mean to be. That's what I want to be. But when I sit there and see that, oh, we'll try to have these people in place. No, like, it's your job. Go get these people in place.
What's your other options? How are you going to complete deals? How are you going to have somebody that really links up and does the job where right now two people are trying to do the job? And by the way, all the other people who are covering other jobs also.
Yeah. John Hackworth has 97 titles
right now.
So does
Dale.
Yeah.
Dale Schilling.
So we got about 30 seconds. What's going to be coming up on the show tonight?
Yeah. I mean, two main topics. We'll talk, of course, about Lutz Fanschiel leaving the club. That's a big thing. And then we'll talk to George Gansner about those PKs. I don't think they're PKs, but we're going to get some explanation explanations on laws of the game.
All right, fair enough. That's Jen C. She's coming up with City Spotlight. Thanks to you for being tuned in. It's been a good day of Cardinals baseball. It started with a victory, and we've been with you since then. But now we're going to shift gears with City SC, and they've got an important matchup coming up this weekend. They are back at home. We'll see what kind of bounce back they have after an emotional week, and Jen's going to be talking all about that. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere here on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.